This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
9 minutes past eight. Good morning to you. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and we get into our conversation for this morning on the Morning Crossfire. My guest this morning is a stakeholder in Ogoni. Safe to say, an Ogoni elder statesman, Douglas Fabeke, would be joining us for a very important conversation. We had the Ogoni Day earlier on this week. I think it was it? Yeah, earlier on this week, if I'm not mistaken. And the talks about the Ogoni struggle had been one that many will continue to talk about. Questions around whether the sacrifices of the Ogoni Nine and many others have really yielded the results that was intended is also a great question. But most importantly, we are going to go back in history and look at some of the issues and things that happened, and whether in this present time all who were involved are still honored and remembered as they ought to, and whether, most importantly, there is progress with regards to what those people who laid down their lives were fighting for in Ogoni land. Let's get on to my guest now, Dr. Douglas Fabeke. Remember to also join the conversation using the Facebook handle at Nigeria Info 92.3 PH, on Twitter Nigeria Info PH, I beg your pardon, on X, and the WhatsApp number is 0809 030 6416. Dr. Douglas, thank you for joining us. Good morning. I'm very fine, thank you. I think I would like to start off by saying a big congratulations to you too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I would allow you to do the announcement of what I'm congratulating you for. That's not within my powers. But the fact that you know what I'm congratulating you for, congratulations.
There are so many things you are congratulating me for. So I don't know the particular one you are.
And then importantly, the Ogoni Day celebration, I'm sure, was a huge success.
Yes, it was a very huge success. For the first time, we did it in a new dimension. We were able to visit the family of eight in Gokana. We interacted with them. They were in good spirit. And one thing that motivated me was the fact that these people, they believe in the struggle. They never regretted the death of their husband and their loved one. They want to see a new Ogoni. I was very, very excited.
You said Ogoni 8. You said Ogoni 8. You said you visited the family of 8.
Yeah, we visited the family of 8 in Gokana, in Bera community.
What about the it's supposed to be 9.
We, in case Arinwa is the head, when we left Bori, we dropped to Bane to visit the family of Ken Arinwa. And I think at the end, all the family came together. We just wanted to visit the different groups and see what they feel about Ogoni 8 at the November 10th. We just wanted to hear from them. For the first time, they were granted interview, and a lot of them spoke their mind and expressed their feeling. And what I discovered in the whole conversation was that these people, they are happy. You know, they want to see the manifestation of the sacrifice of their loved ones, which had not been achieved anyway. They were in a very good spirit. And, I was motivated, and I went back on my prayer. I said, God, these people lost everything at a time, husband, their uncle, their father. They're not regretting the fact that their people were killed, but they're regretting the fact that the death of their loved ones have not been able to produce the kind of result they want to see in Ogoni land.
All right. There's a lot we will talk about. Let's start with something you mentioned before we go into more details. The fact that you said the sacrifices and the goals for why the sacrifices were made has still not been met. What were those goals? They've not been met. Why do you think they've not been met?
Yeah, Andrew, yesterday I was going through the Ogoni Bill of Rights. You know, like I said, there is something the Bible called an ancient landmark. People who sacrifice their life, they sacrifice their life for a purpose. It wasn't an easy sacrifice in Africa. It was a sacrifice that was recognized by the whole world What happened in Ogoni has never happened anywhere in Africa. And so this sacrifice, there is a basis for that sacrifice. And that, there's a document that back up the sacrifice of the Ogoni people. And that document is called the Ogoni Bill of Rights. They talk about our economic freedom. They talk about the environmental freedom. They talk about the political freedom. And if you go to the content of the Ogoni Bill of Rights, what we are doing today is quite opposite to what we have drafted in that document. That document was drafted in June 1992 by all the stakeholders in Ogoni. Even if anybody who will turn against that document today, there are things that we need to look into. It's just like when you read the Bible and God says, the Bible says, whatever you are doing, you should do in the glory of God. Everything that we need to do in Ogoni should reflect what we have and what we have in the Ogoni Bill of Rights.
Mm.
If you go through the content of the Ogoni Bill of Rights, you will see what these people died for. And that is what we are going back to do now. We need to go back to the basics. We need to reflect this document with what is happening in Ogoni. These 9 people, we have 9 people that were hanged to death. We have another 4 great leaders that were murdered on the same struggle, 9 plus 4.
I think it's interesting that you've raised that up, because my next question was going to be...
We lost 13 great leaders from Ogoni. We cannot take this sacrifice for granted.
Dr. Fabeke, if you can hear me.
We are going back to the Ogoni Bill of Rights. We are going to revise everything. We are going to evaluate it. We are going to assess it. We are going to meet with the government. We want to see if the sacrifice that these people sacrifice their lives is giving us the kind of result we want to see.
All right, Mr. Dr. Fabeke, if you can hear me, yeah. I'm glad that you raised something quite important, the Ogoni 4. Because for many people, before the Ogoni 9, there was an Ogoni 4, the four chiefs of Ogoni who were murdered and their bodies not found by many reports. And the children, the sons of these late Ogoni chiefs have continued to cry for justice. Yes, Mr. Albert Bade is one of those chiefs that was lynched May 29, 1994. That would be the day Utes perpetrated that act. And to date, we really haven't found out details as to what happened and the names that they were also called. If I could ask, in your opinion, do you think that enough respect is given to those Ogoni 4 who were killed in the manner that they were killed? Because most of the times when we have the Ogoni Day celebration, you don't really hear much said about the Ogoni 4. It's usually around the Ogoni 9.
You know, the way I do my own thing, I do my thing to follow the spiritual principle of what we call sacrifice. I basically teach them in theology. You know, during the Ogoni Day, I visited Gioko community. Gioko community is one of the ancient communities in Ogoni land, where those Ogoni 4 were murdered to death. And now, if you reflect on what has happened in Ogoni, the Ogoni 4, a person like Kobane and Bade and all the political leaders, if these people were alive today, by now, they would have produced a governor. These were political leaders that attracted respect to the Ogoni land. What we do, we have a vision, we have a plan to make sure, even if nobody mentioned this people, we mentioned this people in our agenda. Even though on November 9, when we visited where those people were murdered in Gioko community, and we assured the people, we are going to revisit this history. Because, you know, yesterday I told somebody, there are many that died in the wilderness when Moses led the children of Israel to the promised land. And some leaders died in the wilderness. And when it was time to share land, when there was a time of success, and God told Joshua to begin to share property for the Israelites, the name of the people who died in the wilderness were forgotten. And God had to call back Moses and say, look, every man who has participated in the history to move from Egypt to the promised land must be remembered. No There is no heart that this could come for when they forgot in history. Because they set the basis of this struggle, we can never come to this man.
But what can be done? Because are you satisfied with the kind of narrative or in the manner in which some of these men are remembered? In fact, I'll tell you, they are the children of some of them still hold grudges and still feel like the manner in which the issue is being treated or has been treated isn't fair. I'll refer to one of them, the son of one of the Ogoni four, Tom Orage. In fact, for him, he still does not want to see Ken Sarawiwa as a hero in his eyes. How would you respond to that? What would you say to that? And the story of the situation, are you satisfied with how it's been told to the young Ogoni youths growing up now? What do they remember? How much do they know?
I think, Andrew, what we are coming about to do is to rebrand all of this information. Especially when you have the Spirit of God, or maybe when you study the Bible, or maybe when you're a child of God, you're a man of God. I may not think the way other people are thinking because this incident introduced a lot of hate into our people. So I will appreciate if this family can unite together and we are one, we are all going to our leader, we have lost them. Something needs to be done to remember these people. So I will not look at the way he's looking at it, but it's very painful. Why it's painful? Because seeing these people die, nothing has been done to remember them. I think people try to politicize the death of our hero. And that because they try to politicize it, it's not giving us the kind of result that we need to get. But what I'm saying, there's a new generation now. We not think the way they thought. We are going to change the way that God is thinking about the sacrifice of this man. The sacrifice of this man, something needs to be done to put their name in history. You're going for their name has to be in history. You're going to know their name has to be in history. They all die on one purpose, and we are just one family. And that is why I'm telling you, Mr. Andrew, I said we go back to the Bill of Rights. Nobody has to disagree with this. It was signed by all the people that were going. That Bill of Rights from the basis of the Ogoni struggle. I went through it this morning and I see we have not been able to actualize just 1% of what is written in that document. So in our generation, we are going to approach this struggle in love. We are going to approach it in unity. We are not going to insult anybody. We are not going to abuse anybody. But I'm assuring you, we are going to go the way that God is going to lead us. And by the grace of God, we will actualize the sacrifice of our hero. God will do a thing that will make people to remember that, because such a sacrifice cannot be done on the land without a result. What happened in South Africa, Mandela was jailed for how many years, and at the end, the spirit of apartheid was defeated. South Africa became the president of Africa. We want to control our resources. It's part of the Ogoni Bill of Rights. Look at the end. Number 6, talk about the compensation of the Ogoni people. By Shell and the Nigerian government. We talk about it. If you look at number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the things that have been listed there, no one has been achieved. This is probably not like a sacrifice as some people with anything.
What would you then say to it? Dr. Fabeke, if I may.
And we say that we are doing it. We're going to clean up and all that. That is not what they died for. We have more deeper meaning. And what should be done?
What did they die for? Dr. Fabeke, what did they die for? What did they die for? The Ogoni 4, the Ogoni 9, what were they fighting for? If it's none of what you have said.
I talk about the political freedom, and I talk about emancipation from environmental litigation, and I talk about restoring back our glory. These are outlined in the Ogoni Bill of Rights. In the next 2 weeks, we are having a workshop in Port Harcourt to reflect on that document. We are having a conference in Abuja to reflect on that document. We are having a conference in Lagos to reflect on that document. We are meeting with some of the African Union to represent that document again. And I think we need to represent it to the Nigerian government again, because it was presented to the Nigerian government. Needs to be attended to. One of the things I've advised the president was that he should look at all the minority families in Nigeria that have been crying for freedom and do something to alleviate their poverty, economic, environmental, and political. These are the three major topics of the Great Bill of Rights. And it will take me more time for me to digest it.
Dr. Fabeke, we have a commercial
we
coming.
Bring that information so that the public will know what these people died for.
All right, we have a commercial coming. But when we return, we need to understand, for those who might not know, perhaps we get insight into what circumstances led to the death of the Ogoni 4. We understand that there's been a lot of conversations around the Ogoni 9, but not much has been said about the Ogoni 4. And it's all part of the story. So when we come after the break, perhaps you'd help with giving us a bit of history into the situation and efforts and steps that you would recommend that could be taken, should be taken to address these ills and put everybody on one page after the commercial.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria.
Nigeria Info, good morning. Let's continue with our conversation. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. My guest, Dr. Douglas Fabeke, is with us via telephone. Dr. Fabeke, thank you for staying with us.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll be taking a few messages on Facebook, WhatsApp, and we'll also be opening the phone lines in a matter of a moment. But just to inform those who do not understand or have no general idea, I'll give you a brief background and then I'd let my guest do the rest. If you did not know, the Ogoni 9 were a group of 9 activists from Ogoni region. They were opposed to the practice of the Royal Dutch Shell Oil Corporation. And they had members, Ken Sadoliwa being one of the most notable members, but not the only one. Saturday Dobe, Nodu Ewo, Daniel Gboko, Paul Levera. It goes on and on. But this was it. Sadoliwa had been a critic of the Royal Dutch Shell Oil Corporation, had been imprisoned for a year after multiple arrests. He and the 8 other fellow members of MOSOP were put on trial under the pretext that the group had indicted, incited the murder of 4 Ogoni chiefs. Now, this was where the Ogoni 4 came from. The Ogoni 4 had been in existence, and then the accusation then was that, well, Ken Sarawiwa had incited youths who later on had gone to carry out the act that was carried. In fact, when he got to court, 2 eyewitnesses who testified said that Sarawiwa was involved in the murder of the Ogoni elders at the time, which, like I said, the sons of one of those elders would say till date that he would not recognize Ken Sarawiwa as a hero. Many young people now might not have the whole story, and because of time, we can't give you all of the details, but that's just an idea of what it was. Dr. Fabeke, if you can tell us, would you say that the death of the Ogoni 4 and the fashion in which it happened could have laid the foundation for the divide that we have in Ogoni today?
And perhaps, like I said, I don't think the way people are thinking about this issue. If I, first of all, I believe that by now that should have been a center or maybe a center of history or maybe a kind of a place that we should have in Bori that should tell the history of all our great leaders. Because we have so many great leaders from Ogoni who have sacrificed their life of the liberation of Ogoni. We don't talk about Birabi. We are talking about Chief Edward Kobani who have attracted so much value to Ogoni. We talk about the 2 Oranges, we talk about the Baptists, and these are men that were pillars for the success and the life of Ogoni. And I believe that if these men were alive today, we will not be fighting. Ogoni does not have a governor. Ogoni does not have it. They can produce governor from Ogoni, and because they will also speak about River State, they will also be voice of River. So in the struggle, you cannot actually define what happened, but what we are saying that these people are our heroes, they are our leaders. Federal government will tell us how they die. Okuntomo is the one that should tell us who killed our leaders. It was the government that killed our leaders. I don't want to go back and say, this one did this and this one did this. A time of struggle, like the Israelites that led Egypt to the promised land, a lot of people have a lot of injury. You talk about us and so many people in my community. So we don't want to go back and say things that we call division, because we are approaching this struggle with law. We are going to oppose this struggle. If you go back to the document, if you go back to the Golden Bill of Rights and look at those who signed from Gokana, these were men that promoted the Golden struggle. These were men that initiated Musa. These were men that were leaders. So who and who that we came from? I don't think anybody has done anything that makes them say to teach each other. The people that killed them were the government. And that is why we are telling the president, you have to review. You have to review how our people die. We need to honor our leaders because their blood are crying for justice. We need to go back to see what have we done enough to make sure the spirit of these people rested. They are not happy. They die a very painful death. And yet, your political party is suffering from today. So, Andrew, I would like to enjoy the whole family to come together as one. They are poor. What we need to do now is to make sure what they sacrifice their life for.
So then, what would you say?
We should come out to remember these people.
What would you say should be the step taken for the Ogoni 4 and Ogoni 9? Ogoni 4 in the sense that they were tagged with derogatory names, and I'm pretty sure some of those names and stories about all of those would still linger in the minds of many people and passed down to generation, and they'll be remembered in a bad light, which is what it is. And there have been calls that the government should need to and would need to address this, like you've said. What then would you suggest, starting from Ogoni, starting from home, before we get to the government, starting from home, what steps should be taken to properly address the sad incident of the Ogoni 4? By the way, whose bodies have not still been recovered. Starting from the Ogoni 4, before we get to the Ogoni 9, how do we reconcile this starting from home?
Andrew, I don't think there is any more specificity about this issue. The Ogoni 4 and Ogoni 9, they're all leaders from Ogoni. We know that I have an example from the Bible where some people were attacked names in the wilderness, those who died in the wilderness, and when Joshua came up and was sharing up, and the children of those people that died in the wilderness voted against Joshua. Because Joshua was biased. And God said, no, they died for the sacrifice, for the freedom from Pharaoh. You have to remember these people. Andrew, this either Ogoni 9 or Ogoni 4, these 13 people are our heroes. They are our heroes. I think it's Ogoni 4, right? Oragis, Antibabi, Ekwok, they were the ones that brought the Ogoni 4, right? We cannot do without these people. And so what we need to do, the Ogoni people need to unite in love. Mm. We need to respect these people. We need to speak positively.
But
we
then, Dr. Fabeke, yes. But then, yes. What then would, because what was the disagreement between the Ogoni 4 and Ogoni 9? Because if that has not been solved, let me finish. Just hold on, Doc. The disagreement between the Ogoni 4 and Ken Saro-Wiwa, many felt that there was something there that not everybody had proper knowledge of. And if that is not known or addressed, how then can we go forward from there? Especially when we look at Ogoni now, and some people would say it is still as divided as it started at that time. So,
Andrew, I'm a publisher. I have gone through the information that has to do with Ogoni's struggle. I have gone through books. I have read books. I have public books about this struggle up to about 4 books. Now, my latest book coming on board now is for us to understand the importance of Kawi, what happened? There was no disagreement with these people. The only disagreement with these people was the government of Nigeria came with divide and rule tactics. It wasn't them, because without the help of Obama, the economic struggle wouldn't have been possible. Without the other, it wouldn't have been possible. Without those four, it wouldn't have been possible. They laid the foundation. How can I lay the foundation of the things and have a compact to disturb the foundation? It's all that is happening in the government. You see the high press, they will not go and tell somebody if you talk about what they are doing that they are not doing well, they will not see how they can divide the community. You will not see how they will give some people money and say, okay, go against this person. That was what Shai was doing in Ogoni. It was the government that came with that division. Our people were not divided. We are one in this struggle. They were one. Because you look at the whole struggle and the information and the narrative that surrounded that struggle. It was
but then how would you describe the reports that came in accusing the Ogoni for of collecting bribes or money from government?
There was no division. The division was from Shell. The division was from Nigerian government because of our oil. Because they knew that if they were united, it would be difficult for them to penetrate Ogoni. So they were one. And we want to come up today to recognize the whole family as one family. As one people, we are just one.
So today, when you look at Ogoni, the struggle and what the sacrifices stood for, would you say Ogonis are more united than ever now?
Absolutely, like I said, if anybody is not talking about the goodness of the struggle, maybe that person is an opinion. But you see, even during the days of Moses, everybody did not say the same thing that Moses was saying. You understand? In a struggle like this, everybody will not say the same thing that you are saying. Even the Israelites did not recognize that God has come to deliver them. So I will not say that everybody is saying the positive thing that we are saying. Because what we are saying is that we have to go back to that Ogoni bill of rights that was drafted by these heroes who sacrificed their lives. I'll sit down with the Nigerian government and talk about the economic freedom, the environmental freedom, and the political freedom of your Ogoni. There must be an agreement with the government of Nigeria. There has never been any agreement with the government. Forget about the cleanup that is going on. Forget about whatever that is doing. The basic of this struggle needs to be addressed. So if anybody is saying otherwise, well, in the day of the apostle, there are some fake prophets, there are some fake pastors that are there. You cannot say everybody is saying one thing. But God has a way for his people to achieve their aim. So we are united. I'm sure I can say the only people are united.
Okay.
When we come to this struggle, we are united. I don't know who is
let's take some messages.
Because the Ogoni bill of rights is very, very clear. We have to go back to the Ogoni bill of rights and we strategize to see how we can achieve this trouble.
All right, let's
let's
get on to the phone lines and see whether the listener agrees with you to a large extent. I would also take some messages. The numbers to call are 0817-923-0007, 0817-923-0007. You can also call 0817-923-0003. On WhatsApp, this one says, good morning. If several people, both local and international, believe the Ogoni are not culpable in the murder of the Ogoni Four, then the murderers are out there somewhere. For me, I stand with Tom Oragi, Michael from Okrika. Mene is calling from Bayelsa State. Mene, you're welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead. Good morning.
My name is Mene Ibaton. I'm calling from Bayelsa State.
Go on.
Vice Chairman of Ogoni Community, Bayelsa State.
All right.
Lisa, good morning. Where are you, sir?
Hey, I don't
know. Adelisa. And the Vice Chairman.
Go ahead.
Andrew, my leaders, they have said all. And I will beg him, please, my leader, please, this Ogoni bill of rights, we need to get some coffee. Mostly, in terms of nowadays, you don't understand everything you are saying. That it is only people that witness what transpired during 1992 and 1993. I witnessed it. The day my community was invaded by the Nigerian army, I ran away. I was in the bush over about 6 months. And this is started during General Babangida, who do you know? So our younger ones today will not be aware of all this history that you are giving there. I am aware, Nyarasan, but I wanted to produce this government bit of right and share it to all local government. Even within Bayelsa, we would like to get some copies. Because you are the one doing the right thing. You are the one saying the right thing. Nyarasan, me.
All right, Mene.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Let's go to David. David is in Oyigbo. David, good morning.
Good morning, Nigeria Inco.
Good morning to you, David. Go on.
Yeah, I am Dr. David Mene, calling from Oyigbo.
Okay, go on. Go ahead.
I stand by my brother, Dr. Fadeke. So I understand the issue is that in Nigeria, whenever Shell is involved, they have their strategies to scatter and divide the people where they want to exploit from. I was an integral member of MOSOP, played a very key role. The issue is that Ogoni leaders were called to discuss with government. Things were presented to them, and Ken Saro-Wiwa said that, don't give all these things. Send it to Ogoni. Let it be part of development for the compensation of taking oil, stealing our oil for 35 years without compensation. They called these other people inside and said, can't you people be rich? Take this thing and allow Ken Saro-Wiwa to go. You can be rich. Outside Ken Saro-Wiwa, the man said, divided we fall, unity we stand. That was just the little thing that happened.
But David, is it David? Did you also? Hello, David. Can you hear me? But then yes. there were reports of a protest, or was it a protest that was being held on the day the Ogoni four were killed?
Allow me to speak. I know everything you are doing. I know everything you are talking about. I was part of it.
So
I was a secretary of one of the.
That's why I want to ask a question kingdom. Because of who you say you are. I said the protest, there was a protest being held on the day the Ogoni four were killed. And some people are saying some comments made by Ken Saro-Wiwa during that protest was responsible for inciting the youth to, you know, attack the houses of members of the Ogoni four.
Yes. Hear me. Ken Saro-Wiwa went for a function outside River State. He was on the way coming at Trailer Park. He was stopped by officers of the either police or whereabout. They succeeded in dividing the youth, sponsor the youth. My brother, if government is against you, there is nothing they will not do to nick you in the boot, just to call you a name, to get to where they are going. That was what happened. We ran to the bush. I ran to the forest. They invaded my community 5:30 a.m. in the morning and killed 9 persons, children, men and women. So
right, David,
just listen to me. Give me a little time.
We don't have all the time, David, unfortunately. We have to move on to Echie. Thank you, though, for the insight. Robin is in Echie. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, my brother.
Go ahead.
And my special greeting in his own language, the resource person there. Ododua.
Benda.
You see, yes, ever since I had his name and his voice on radio, I love the way he treats as regards the emancipation of the people of Ogoniland. Towing the line of late Ken Saro-Wiwa. And he is so sound. When he makes his presentation, he is connected what he has been telling us across the world. I want him to stay focused. It's not easy to speak the truth in a society like ours. I know that many sons and daughters of Ogoni have cashed in on Ken Saro-Wiwa to become millionaires and billionaires today. But let him not be distracted. Let him remain focused. As an environmentalist, as somebody who wants to bring blood to Ogoni, this is my plea to him, because his involvement in politics might be sad. And they will not allow him to stay in his way. This is my point.
All right,
good
Robin.
Morning. I remember what Mother Dipma.
Thank you. We'll go back to my guest and attempt to wrap up. But first, let's take some of these messages. Ogonis must appreciate efforts of the sacrifices, accept love one another, live in unity, speak in one voice, and be fair to all components and parts of Ogoni without oppression and marginalization of any part. Elder Joel Adolphus. I'm not happy each time leaders come on in this manner. Why not create a platform for all Ogoni sons and daughters to come on board, whether home or abroad? Please, Dr. Fabeke, we have real enemies who are there to block any progress of the Ogoni struggle. Kadilo from Port Harcourt, you sent that message. This one says, good morning, Nigerian. For the pains of late council was the underdevelopment of the Ogoni nation, political marginalization, economic strangulation, environmental degradation. Well, this is quite a lot. I can't take all of these. These Ogoni compatriots were killed because they asked for the development of their land. Let the Nigerian government come and develop Ogoni. David Mene sent that message in. Quickly, Dr. Fabeke, as we attempt to wrap up, the way forward, mending fences, what would you say in 2 minutes?
The way forward. Now the way forward. Let me wrap it up the way forward because there's no much time. I have attended about 3 United Nations meetings, European meetings, about 6 months ago, and we try to do something different after November 10th is made so that we don't keep celebrating things that we don't see the result. Well, somebody asked me, there's other things going on. I said, well, other things have been going on. This is what died for the Ogoni to be developed. So, what we are doing now, Mr. Andrew, we are trying to rebuild the Ogoni Bill of Rights. We want to bring as many companies as possible. We met with the with African Union. We are working a report that indicted Nigerian government on the human rights violations and the report that was given to Nigerian government. We have gotten that report. We are printing it out. And we have also done assessment reports in all the communities of Ogoni and the community impacted with oil pollution. And the local government.
Because quickly, time is already fast spent, but are there efforts to also try and know the whereabouts of the bodies of the Ogoni Four? Are there efforts or talks in that direction as well to ensure that the family members find peace and rest?
Mr. Andrew, the vision that we have in the next 1 week plus, there is a document we want to present.
We're already out of time. We have to go for a short commercial now.